City Council tonight. We had not anticipated having this meeting, but because of our council last time, there were some items that we opted to discuss and at this council. So, and Derek added a new item. So, and I guess we're okay. All right, we're going to begin with that invocation and a pledge of allegiance, and Mike is going to lead us with that.
I'll offer the invocation first. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be here tonight to meet as a city council. We're very grateful for the rain and snow which has come over the past few days. We're grateful for this beautiful area that we live in, especially for this wonderful time of year. I pray that we might be blessed tonight with wisdom and good judgment as we discuss the matters before us, and that we might have wisdom and be able to understand and be able to foresee what might be best for the city and for its residents. We are grateful for all of our blessings, and we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Micah. First item on the agenda is the consent agenda. This can be just a single motion, unless there's some discussion on the agenda. So, if there is no discussion, I'll entertain a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Mayor, I'll make the motion that we accept the consent agenda as listed on tonight's agenda.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Blair?
Yes.
Patty?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Derek?
Yes.
Okay, we'll go right into the business. These are the items that we had moved to this meeting. The first one is a discussion and possible action to approve the water surplus agreement with the water district. There were some discussion in the work meeting that we had prior to our last city council meeting that some of the council members had concerns and questions about, so we hopefully have addressed those, and it's open now for a council discussion. Any comments, Patty?
Why are you looking at me, Mayor?
Patty always have a comment.
I do. I've got quite a few.
All right.
So let me preface my remarks with this. Is that I think we started working on the surplus water agreement maybe 18 months ago, maybe a little bit longer, something like that. And I had the privilege of sitting in on some of those meetings, both with the water district and with our water rights attorney, Jeff Gittin. And when this first came to the council, it might have been discussed much earlier, but when it first came to the council, the agreement that water Conservancy District wanted was that the term was 1,000 years, and nobody on the council was agreeable to that. And so a lot of discussions happened after that, coming to the setting the terms, what was equitable, etc. And the council was brought up to date occasionally on all of this. Never in that time period until we received the meeting prior to this was the perpetual use used. So I assumed that we would be talking about an agreement that the Water Conservancy District would basically loan us a little over $13 million to improve our secondary system, and that we would give them our excess water to use, and then at the end of that term, be it 25 years, 30 plus years, etc., that the terms would be renegotiated, and that yes, we, because the surplus water belongs to us, that eventually we would use that surplus water for our own new connections. But that's really, we will still get new connections. The Conservancy District is guaranteeing that. There's formulas in here, etc. But I still disagree strongly that in working out a good agreement for both parties, that Laverkan has to agree to perpetual use. Not even 1,000 years, perpetual. And I don't understand how future councils would not have a problem with this. And then there are some other things that our incoming council member, John, brought to email the council and the mayor, and et cetera. And I don't think any of those things are addressed in here. And I feel like I very much want an agreement to happen. I really do. I think it's good for the Water Conservancy District and good for Laverkan. But I just have a hard time putting my name to anything that is perpetual use. It is such a gamble as to the way that will go in the future. And you can think of any number of examples in governments, civic governments, U.S. government, state government, that this kind of thing has come back and bit one party or the other the wrong way. So I just have a hard time with this perpetual use. I did, in trying to figure out whether I was off my rocker or not, why am I the only one who thinks this way? I did speak with former Mayor Carl Wilson, and he had concerns about it. He did not like the word perpetual either. And so I also called Commissioner Iverson, since he's on the water board, and asked him his opinion about it. And of course, these are opinions. They're not on the council. They're not the mayor. They're not attorney or Water Conservancy District. But Commissioner Iverson was saying, actually Darren spoke with me briefly about it, and it's kind of funny, I'm on my way to a meeting right now that with the Dixie Convention Center, and evidently some previous commission signed a 99-year term or 30 years into it, and yeah, it wasn't such a great deal. And so I said, so would you do it again? And he goes, no. And I said, would you do a perpetual term on anything? He said, no. And that was just his personal opinion. But it just made me realize, I think, I would hope that, and I know, Morgan, you explained it from your point of view at the work meeting, why the perpetual makes sense. I just don't think it does. I think that at the point that we get the loan paid off, that there would be, if they're willing to lend us the money now and we pay it back in water, whatever, those future connections, it's our water, we'll pay to have it cleaned up, serviced, etc., all of that. But why isn't there some value coming back to us after we pay off the loan? So, Mayor, I know you've explained this to me, like 20 times, and in your mind it makes sense, but I honestly don't think it does. I think we're missing something. So that's my concern. And there's other details, but that's my concern.
Larry, do you have some comments?
You know, I think that over, like Patty said, the last so many months, everybody has done a good job on this agreement. I also agree with the agreement, but I don't agree with the perpetual. I think that the district, if they get in trouble in 20 years, they would want that. Or they would want a way to fix it and change the agreement we're entering in. They're not buying it for perpetual, they're buying it for long enough to get their investment back out of it and use the water somewhere. And in 20 years, it might be re-signed and just left the way it is. But in 20 years, or 30 years, but at some time period, people are going to sit back and they're going to say, oh, that wasn't such a good idea. We need to change that. And that's my big stepping stone, is the perpetuity of it. I didn't say that right, but you got the picture.
Perpetuity. Micah, any comments?
I was out of town, and I tried to see from the minutes, and I couldn't quite decipher how all that went. You know, I just had a question for Faye. You know, in your opinion, Faye, you've been in on a lot of these. Why? What's your, do you have concerns with the wording perpetual, or why are we talking about that?
Whenever you speak of an agreement of perpetuity, it always makes you raise your eyebrows a little bit. I want to point out that also there's language in here that guarantees us new water connection back in perpetuity.
That was going to be one of my questions, too. Are they committing to something in perpetuity?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I sent out an email to each of the council members earlier this week with the surplus water agreement, with that new language inserted in there. In fact, in the agreement, there's three separate locations where it talks about the city receiving those new connections in perpetuity. So it's not, it's a kind of a two-way street. So.
And then my understanding, and I might be wrong, on the secondary water, if it keeps going down the river and we don't have a way to pull it out and to clean it and to use it, can we lose our rights to that eventually? Could that come and be taken because it's something that we're not using or able to use?
I don't know the answer to that. You don't know it?
My understanding is not that it can be taken away, the actual water right, but that water will be used by the next person in line through prior appropriation. So, yes.
I think the comment that what he was asking for is that if you don't, the city can protect that water right better than the canal company or somebody else. But if we're actually not going to use that surplus water for secondary irrigation in our system, and we don't have any plans for it over time, they could come, the state could come in and re-adjudicate that, even though we are a city. But just for the fact that we can show them a plan that we're going to save that water for future generations, we're not giving up, we need that right, and we're not giving up the right to do that, that's enough to keep them from doing it. But if we didn't have that plan to turn it into, say, colony water, which we're planning on doing, for future generations, then yes, you would be in a situation where they could actually come and re-adjudicate that water. And that's coming from our water attorney, that you have to have some, even though it might be a low bar, you still have to have a plan for that water.
Yeah, beneficial use.
It has to become a beneficial use. If you're not using them, your secondary system, you got to create a beneficial use for it. Anyway,
I just as you talked, I did a little research on having a plan to do that, use that water. Springdale pulls it right out of the river, runs it to a treatment plant. I couldn't get an exact price at the moment. It's about $6 million, and they clean it up, colony ready. It's a microfiber plant. And there is avenues that we look at, if you can look at those, that we can have that all as culinary water. Now, if they say we're not doing anything with it, plants can take a long time to build and a long time to decide. You can put the plan on the table and say no and go to the next plan and maybe get one you like, but it can take years. The plant down here was planned clear back when Darwin's Hall was superintendent, and I think Kelly was on the board when we were talking about that. And that's been
25 years.
That's been a long time. But nobody's took the water yet, and it's a 1890 ride, and in all that time, nobody's took the water or planned to take the water. As the water gets scarcer, people do want that water. So let's make a plan. Let's plan on using it somehow, ourselves, for selling it, the water, to somebody else. But there is plans out there. There's avenues if you open your mind up.
The selling part was a sticking point with our water attorney. Darren?
So it seems to me, as I talk to members of the community and talk to this group, everyone agrees that we're headed in the right direction, that this is a good thing, that we need to be a part of this system, and we'd love to have a new irrigation system in the town. But it seems like we're stuck on that perpetual, and my confusion is a little bit, do we know 30 years from now what that value is going to be of that surplus water? Is there an opportunity to share some of that profit, if there is a profit, after 30 years? We don't really know that number, so that's where I got confused. I don't mind having a perpetual agreement if we're being awarded for that water, if available in 20 years or 30 years.
All you can take is the numbers that are out there right now.
Morgan, you have any comments? Well,
yeah.
You're going to let her be comment before I do, so.
I don't know if this mic is working. I can stand if needed. Are you okay?
Is that not my comment?
It's not charged.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I did just want to mention, with this surplus water agreement, it's kind of been discussed the two things that the water district is coordinating with Laverkan City on. So Councilmember Wise mentioned the $13 million plus for the secondary water system, and that is, we are not expecting Laverkan City to pay that back. So it's not a loan. The district is providing those funds for that project. And then also what was mentioned is the new connections. And it is a two-way street with the perpetuity, so the water district's concern with it not being perpetual is, A, we are providing funds for the secondary system improvement project, and then second, the new connections that are provided based off that surplus water, we're giving a connection to a home or a building, so that water needs to be there. We're promising that water. Even though we're not calling this an exchange, it is an exchange where, for the surplus water, Laverkan City is being promised new connections until you use them all. And so if we were to give a connection based off this agreement to a home based off the surplus water, and then Laverkan will come back and say, we don't want to do this anymore, and then start using that water, well, we no longer have water for the home. And so that's why it really does need to be perpetual, because the connection is a perpetual promise of that water.
Okay, I'm going to comment. This water right that we have is a very valuable asset. The water right we have out of the springs is a very valuable asset. We have so much water out of the springs, and that is a perpetual right. And we're going to be able to use that water for water connections in New Laverkan. And the water right we have in our secondary system, if we don't use that water that we're not using on for secondary use, it does go down the river to the next priority user. So what the water district is offering to us is that if we will gives them that water, that surplus water, or whatever amount will be, and that's undetermined. We have an estimate right now, it's anywhere from 700 acre feet a year, that over the past 10 years or so, it's been kind of an average of 700 plus acre feet a year that goes down the river to the next priority user, which is Hurricane Canal Company or St. George Canal Company. Might be the water district. I don't know where your water rights are on the river or not, but Ours are probably one of the, well, they are one of the very best. We're third on the priority list, and we're the biggest of those three. There's, I think, two priority uses that are before ours up the river, but there are small users. So this water right for the district is very important, because that assures them that, say, if the river starts to go down and they put a call on the river, which they have done in the last several years, they put a call on the river and they put the priority right to 1900. Anybody that's got a priority right that's newer than after 1900 cannot use the water. But we can. And that's, we can use it for our contract holders, for the city ourselves, because the city owns the water right. So that's why the district is interested in that, because if we can provide them the water to store, to treat, and to transmit back to us through their system, which they will guarantee us water connections. That's why we have the water right, so we can have water connections for future generations. And this is exactly what we're doing. We're making that possible, that this extra water that we're not using in the system is a beneficial use for future generations in Luverca. And it's valuable. Yeah, you can sell it and get a lot of money out of it, but that's against the state law for us to sell our water right. And that was one of the sticking points that the water attorney had with us, is if we sold it to the district and we're paying that loan back, and then after that's paid back, are we going to keep selling that to the district? But they're guaranteeing us, if we don't sell it, maybe they don't want to buy it. But they're guaranteeing us water connections, and so we're going to be able to have the beneficial use for that. But you've got to have a buyer, and that's the sticking point that our water attorney has, is if that sounds like a sale, you're selling your water back to me. And he says that would be very difficult to battle in court, and most likely we would lose. And if we did lose, then yeah, they're going to look at us and say, you're not using that for beneficial use. You're just selling. We're not selling our water, our extra water out of the springs for anything. We want to keep it. The district is just offering us an opportunity to use that water and change it from secondary use to culinary use. And the state's telling us that they're not even going to give us a haircut. We can get it water for water, so we get the full benefit of that. Generally, when you change the use, you get a big haircut on the water. They'll cut back on how much water right you have. They're not offering that to us now. So this is a very good idea for us. The district isn't asking us to pay that money back. And the reason they want it perpetual is exactly what you said. They're committing that to connections in Luverca. And it has to be that, just like our water out of the springs, we commit that to the connections in Luverca. And so it needs to be perpetual on both sides, so that they can have the water to commit to us, and it's perpetual for us, so that we can use those connections up to that water right for future generations. So I see no reason why we wouldn't pass this. It's a huge benefit for our future future generations here, or our future growth. There's enough water there that we could almost completely build out in Luverca. We're limited on our space, and the water connections that we'll get from this is probably close to full build out. I'm guessing I just did a calculation. If there's 1,000 extra acre foot of water, we would get at a 0.59, we would get almost 1,700 connections. At a 0.39, the ultra conservative use, if that gets passed and we can use that, that would add about, at 1,000 acre feet, about 2,500 more connections that we could use to the benefit of the working citizens. And if the calculations that what we're guessing at that Sunrise Engineering came up with, it could be anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 acre feet. I think you settled on about 1,350, is that right?
I think so.
And I believe that's in the draft. So that would give us at a 0.59, 3,400 connections. At a 0.39 and a 0.59, I think would be 2,400 or something like that in that neighborhood. So anyway, they're offering us something that is, I don't see how we could turn it down for the fact that we're not giving up our water right. They're offering those connections in perpetuity, which means that we're getting it back. They need to have it get the water in perpetuity because they're going to be able to be offered those back to us. And it costs maybe we don't want to do that. Maybe we want to build our own reservoir, build our own treatment plant. And how many years did it take to get that reservoir in Tocqueville approved?
Permitting alone was 13 years.
13 years, permitting alone. And the cost to do that was, I think you're probably pushing $90
million. Yeah, we're at $90 million. That's for reservoir and pipeline. That's not any treatment included in that.
Right. And then you do a treatment plant, and the one in Springdale is very small. I've been to it, and it's, I don't know that we'd be able to treat the quantity of water that we would have. You're shaking your head, it wouldn't.
Yeah, it's about 500 gallons, 800 gallons a minute.
Yeah, and so the cost to build a treatment plant to do that would be astronomical. We already have that in the water district. We're part of the water district. We're part of the pooling agreement. We joined the water district when they first put all the agreements together in 2006, was it? We had joined them. And so we have the benefit of using the water district for our benefit, they're offering that for us. It costs money to store the water, it costs money to treat it, it costs money to transmit it. And so, yes, they're going to charge us whatever those costs are back in whatever they are now. I don't know what, I think they're $1.79 per thousand right now. It's going to keep going up. And they'll go up all the time. So, yeah, your concerns, I understand your concerns, but we've taken, I don't know how long, and made sure that this is a good thing for Laverkan, that we're protected. We have probably one of the better water attorneys in the state that has been working on this on our behalf. I know there was many times that he suggested things to your water attorney, and been very in agreement. He said that is really the way it should be. And so I just, in my mind, I've been involved with all this. I know you haven't, all of you guys haven't. But I tried to keep you informed as much as I could on it up until now. So I say if you vote against it, I think you shoot yourself in the foot. And so I just strongly think that we should vote for it and pass it tonight because it will be a beneficial use for our future generations, and it is guaranteeing that we're going to get that water back. So
if we maxed out the connections and we were full build out,
if we maxed out the connections that we have in the water right that we would get from this, it would be no different than maxing out the water right we have in the springs, which eventually we will.
Yeah.
And then, so that water has to be perpetual so that we can always have that water for those connections because they're committed to us.
Yeah. And so if there was surplus water after that, you couldn't sell
there's
it anyway.
There's no surplus water because you've used it all. Then, and the benefit to the district is this. They have so much water that they provide for the eight communities now that are part of the water district. And Ivins is out of water. They have to get all the water from for any growth in Ivins from the water district. Washington City is the same way. I don't know how close St. George City is on using all of their water rights, but they get a lot of water from the water district. Santa Clara is maybe a little bit better off than some of the others over there. Tocqueville, they're going to rely on all the district to build all they're going to build in Tocqueville because they don't have the water to do that. We're the only community that has enough water rights to do that, and the only way we can do it is by converting it from secondary use to culinary use and back to us. And we're not going to, it's not going to bother any of the contract holders because we're going to use that secondary water that's coming out of the river. We're going to meet our obligation to the contract holders. The city has probably the biggest share of the contracts that we own. So the city is using that water to rent out to the rest of the community so that we're not using culinary water to water our lawns, but we're using secondary water. And as time goes on, we're going to have fields like at the hot springs that there's no water on that parking lot. The Squire's property eventually is going to sell and they're going to build something on that. It might be a parking lot, it might be some other businesses. That's going to be more water that will be saved so it won't be used on that field. Once that the water turns on the irrigation system in the secondary system in the spring, those sprinklers on the Squire property run until it turns off in the fall. They just keep moving them around to water their property. So it's running all the time. And most of the other big water users that have fields are using that for them. And so it's not going to hurt them because we have a contractual obligation to provide water, secondary water for the citizens of the work. And we're doing that. But we're not using it all. And this is an opportunity to use it for the beneficial use for future generations, and by the perpetuity of it just about has to be there. Otherwise, 20 years from now, you say you don't want to do it, you already committed the water to the people that have used it. So it needs to be there. And so in my mind, it would be a huge mistake not to hold it.
So, Mayor, you're saying a house that was built under the agreement, and then 20 years from now, if the agreement's gone, then there's no guarantee of how their water's delivered.
Well, right. We don't have, you've already committed water to it, so it's, you have to provide water for them. And where's the water coming from? It's coming from our secondary water right. The district is committing water to Ivins and to Washington and Santa Clara and St. George and Hurricane. Hurricane's a big user for the water. And if it's that water's committed there, they may have a hard time committing more water to us. But by doing this, they don't have to commit water to us. We're being self-sufficient.
We're fully using our water rights.
Even though we're going to pay for it, because it goes through their system. But it's still our water right, and it's... So, that's...
May I?
I disagree with your perpetuity stuff, and I think it has to
it's
be there.
It's not stuff. It's good points.
Okay.
Just like yours.
I didn't think your points were good, so...
Fair enough.
All right.
So, our connections... our water rights our water that we have for homes. I guess if in 20 years they would take water away from us, then they're also going to be taking water away from every other city in Washington County. We're not going to be picked on. You know, if the water belongs to us, it belongs to us. I believe there's a state law, not 100% sure about this, but because this is our water, the Water Conservancy District is the manager. They don't own anybody's water, and so they can't give our water away to other cities. You know, it is our water, regardless of whether we enter into this agreement or not. Kelly, I would like to see this agreement happen. I really would. But there is nothing in here that talks about renegotiating terms. And Morgan, I understand that the $13,417, whatever it is, that Water Conservancy District, I guess, is exchanging with Laverkan for the surplus water. That's the value. You're giving us $13 million in value, and we're going to give you $13 million worth of water, actually a lot more than that probably.
It's really not that.
And that at the end of the time that is terminated, the way this agreement's written, we don't even have any recourse to renegotiate, say, hey, why don't we do this or why don't we do that? The only negotiation there is, and the whole agreement is, prior to April 1st of each calendar year, the district and the city shall meet to coordinate regarding the terms of this agreement, including balancing the ledger of new connections and the amount of surplus secondary water rights deliveries from the city. All that I really want to see is that there be terms that allow more negotiation by the city, to that if in the future there's a lot more value to our water that the district is using, that we are compensated in some manner. That's really the nuts and bolts of it. And in our work meeting with our water rights attorney, Jeff Gittens, he was asked towards the end of the meeting, Jeff, would you, if you were writing this agreement, I think that's how the question was, would you agree to perpetuality and perpetuity, sorry, a little record off me, perpetuity. And he said, I would want to have bars of time where the contract is renegotiated in the sense that we're not terminating the contract, but we're negotiating where we are at 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 50 years from now. Because the only other thing in here is the term and termination, and that's drastic. I don't think any party, the Water Conservancy District, definitely would not want to reach that point, and neither does Laverkan. So what I'm objecting to is that we're agreeing in 2025 to things that we have no idea what's going to happen, and we have no recourse to change it. We're stuck.
You mean that we have no recourse to change the fact that we're going to get all those connections back?
We have no recourse. They are our connections. The Water Conservancy District wouldn't deny our connections any more than they would deny anybody else's water connections. So that's a good point, but I don't think it's the reason not to have a renegotiation in the contract. And it doesn't mean that it needs to change. It might always be the same value. But I think we need to have something in there, and I don't see why we can't put a clause in there that's stronger than this coordination clause that benefits all of us, to just maybe at some point renegotiate the terms. Like maybe there's more value to the water and Laverkan has given it away. That's
We're not giving it away. And
extra value.
I will guarantee you there's going to be more value to that water in 20 years and 40 years and 100 years from now.
Right. And
it's
going to
be more valuable, and we will still have the water.
Right.
And so,
but for,
and there's more value to the water than
Kelly,
the spring.
We're, entering into this for $13 million. There's got to be something more down the road for them.
They're offering that $13 million to help our system so that there's going to be extra water, because we know we're losing water in our system.
Right.
We know we're losing it. We just can't find where it's at. There's places where water goes in the ground and it never does surface. Carl told me a few years back when you were the mayor, you found a 2-inch, I think it was a 2-inch leak in their main water system that never surfaced. And I remember 25 years ago, the water district came to us and said, you're using about all of your water right out of the springs. And they said, well, you're going to have to start buying water from us. And so we did. We entered into a contract to buy water from them. And we replaced that line, and that's when they found the leak. And so it's 25 years from now. We have grown a ton since then, and we still have water left in the springs. So I'm saying that what they're offering to us is they're going to help us get a new system. They're not asking to be repaid. And we're going to still get the full benefit out of that water right. Whether it's $1,000 an acre foot in 20 years from now, or if it's $500,000 an acre foot, it's still our benefit, the benefit to us. And it's not for sale. And if you try to sell it, the state will come right back on you and say, you cannot sell it. So, and we're not selling the water to the district. They're just helping us convert it from secondary use to primary use to benefit the citizens of Wolverine. And so the way it's written is really the right way to put it. There's no question about that. Because they're not going to commit to us water that they can't be assured of getting. Just like the spring water, work until we use it all.
Kelly, I'm not saying it's an all or none. I'm saying that 20 years from now,
what are you going to renegotiate? Tell me.
Well, if it was 20 years in the future, I might have an answer for it.
Really, it's going to come down to, are you going to get that water back to Laverkin or not? And disagreement says, yes, you are. And in 20 years, we're still going to get it back. And we're still going to provide it to the district so they can treat it and bring it back to us. And they're offering to do that, to help us do that. That's what they're there for. If we didn't have the Washington County Water Conservancy District, Washington County would be probably a population of maybe 50,000 people today. But because of what they do to help all our communities, we've been able to grow. And it's been made it possible that our families, people that live here, can stay here and work and have, and they don't have, some of them don't have to move away. Some of them choose to move away. But that's what it is. And so I don't know what you're going to renegotiate in 20 years or 40 years from now, because you're still getting your water right back. You're just going to pay whatever the going rate is for the cost of storing it, treating it, and bringing it back to us.
There's cities out there that are our sister cities that had no water at all. And the Conservancy District has said, we're going to give you water. And Morgan can attest to that, but I think Ivans is one of them. Didn't have any water at all.
They had some water, right?
And everything.
They have some water.
Whose water are they using? And when they use that water, how do we get it back? It doesn't matter whether it's on paper or not. You still don't get the water back. And if you go down by the airport of St. George City, there's a massive subject.
They can't over-allocate the water.
You what?
They can't over-allocate the water.
They so been, even this agreement says they're going to go to the state and allocate it. And they're going to move it.
You've got to have the water to allocate it.
They've got to have the water. And so we give them the water and they allocate it.
and is allocated to us. They're not off saying they're going to give it to Ivins and
they already have.
Yeah, you're.
You go down and look at the subdivisions, Washington City.
They've allocated water that they have water rights to do. The water district
they do.
Owns a lot of
they
water.
They have a lot of water.
And they're allocating it to all of these cities.
But the man allocated all of the water, what are we going to get back? It doesn't matter what this agreement says.
Yes, it does.
And they guarantee it for perpetuity or whatever the name is. You know, it doesn't matter because they'll come to us and they'll say, well, right now we're out of water. So all of Washington County is stopping growth. It doesn't matter whether they've got it on paper. They'll say, oh, we're working on a line from Lake Powell. Covers their butt. They'll
so
say this.
So,
say
you're saying that if they say they're out of water and we still have some water rights in the springs, we won't be able to use them?
No. I'm saying you use that. How many you got?
So we have water rights in the secondary system. We won't be able to give it to them to give back to us for use?
I'm saying, if they can allocate it, why can't we allocate it within our own city?
It's being allocated right back to us.
So what I'm saying is, out here, we have a lot of land that's in the city. We haven't got any water on it. And so the map shows that we can't put any water there. But the Conservancy can.
What do you mean?
Reallocate.
What do you mean we can't put any water there?
According to the map that's in this book, in this agreement, we can allocate the bottom bench for the water. Nothing outside of the bottom bench.
So, and we don't want to allocate secondary water to the upper bench.
We said we're going to allocate secondary water.
We're going
to build a treatment plant just like they can. It just costs money.
Yeah, yeah, it does. It doesn't make sense. But anyway,
Kelly, why aren't you willing, if you're so sure this is correct, why aren't you willing to just beef up number 4 coordination and allow more negotiation at 20 years in the future?
What are we doing in those negotiations?
Kelly, we don't know now. Just like you, but I mean, really, have you ever
entered into
a long-term contract?
We've got one. We got one item here. We've got water.
We've got value. We've got value, which can change depending on whether we have drought or we have surplus.
Of course, it's going to change. The value will change. That's always going to change. It's going to cost a lot more to get water in the future, and that water in 20 years that we have is going to be worth a lot more. But if we had to get it somewhere else...
it's worth a lot more, though.
It's to us, though. You would pay a lot more if you had to go buy it.
It's just a connection to us. To the Conservancy District right now, it's $15,000 per connection.
That's just their impact fee to their system. So.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I've said my piece. I'm ready for a motion.
Oh, I was just thinking when I explained a Medicare Advantage plan, when people are used to insurance companies always charging more and giving less, and it's a good deal, they say, well, where's the catch? And that kind of seems to, you know, me watching this, it kind of seems to be like, well, there's got to be something here, right? We just don't naturally trust outside entities. And I think the mayor's been trying to say this is a win-win. I think that's what you've been saying to us.
It is a win-win.
From all along.
It's good for the district because they don't have to provide water to us in the future because we're providing it for ourselves.
And they're helping us to get dirty water and make it
to get clean water
to make it clean because we're not in that business. And Blair, as much as we say we can build it, Laverkin's not going to get into the water treatment business. I mean, we can barely keep our roads.
It's all whether you look around. The new technologies are coming out all the time. Springdale has got it, and that's how they get their extra water.
Right, but Springdale has a budget that's, I don't know, X amount above ours, right? I mean, we couldn't even consider $6 million right now for anything.
I tried finding that out, but I couldn't get hold of it, of what, how much grant money they have. But maybe you know how much grant money Springdale had for building that plant.
So they were already doing water, so there was an upgrade to their system. So they've had a plant for a long time. So it was an upgrade to get new technology. And I can't remember the exact numbers. 10 million coming to mind is what the total project cost, 10 to 15 million somewhere in there, just before I started at Sunrise. But like I said, it is for a fraction of the size of Laverton.
The other thought I had, Patty, was, you know, I think I'm trying to understand both sides, and it's, I think we're thinking there's going to be a lot of surplus water that has value, but it sounds like if we hit even the optimistic, conservative numbers, at some point we have maybe just enough connections for the Laverton. I don't know, 30 years from the road, we have a whole lot of surplus water. You know, that
we don't know.
Right, and it sounds like we can't sell our shares anyways.
Right.
Right, so I see the mayor's point that what are we really negotiating? Right now we're locking in a way to guarantee and take water that's been going down the river, and now we can make it clean and
right.
bring it back to us.
Yep.
Not have to get into a loan to do it. I mean, it's opening a door for us to actually finally use the water shares that we have and assure it for the future.
Agreed.
So, I think my hang-up was thinking there's a lot of this extra shares of water and we can sell it, but learning that we can't sell our shares of water and also that we're going to build out and use all of them eventually. I just don't see why we would need to renegotiate or what there would be.
I don't know that we would need to. But I think the way it's written now, we'll never be able to. And I'm thinking more that, yeah, we'll get our water back, and maybe we won't use them all for one reason or another. And by choice, you know, we assume that we'll build out, but maybe we won't. And so we're still giving the Conservancy District surplus water that we have chosen that we don't need. And then we are losing value.
But we'll still have the rights to it.
All I'm asking is that we have the opportunity to, and maybe negotiate's the wrong word. You know, it's just a word that's used a lot. But we should have the opportunity to really review and balance the agreement.
Well, and that's what we do. We have the opportunity to balance how much water is going to be
every year. Right, Kelly. But you're assuming we're going to use it all. But what if we don't? And there's a whole lot of value in water that we're not using. And we'll never, into perpetuity, get any of that value?
Well, how are you going to get the value out if the state says you can't sell it?
If we're entering into this agreement and we're allowing the district to take the surplus water,
to be the vehicle to change it to drinking water for us.
Right. So right now they're using surplus water from Laverton.
Well, I don't know. That's the next priority user on the river that's getting the benefit of that water.
In this agreement, they will be the next priority. Right.
What they do is they're taking our priority because it's the best, and just making sure that we're going to be able to use that for our benefit. From secondary use to culinary use.
I got an idea here. What about if we take those numbers and cut them in half, so they're getting half of our excess water, And then in 10 years, we will take the option of giving him the other half.
Well,
and put it right in.
And so you're going to let half of it go down the river?
If that's where it's been going
since
1890, I don't see why we don't.
That's where it's going.
Why not?
I want to use it for beneficial use.
Well, we got the option. They're going to want it just as much in 10 years, that other half, as they do right now for the whole half.
That doesn't make
for the
any
whole
sense.
Thing.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay.
Anyway, what kind of wording would you put in there if you wanted to renegotiate?
Well, Faith, maybe you can help out on this.
Well, no, I don't think of, well, I'm not exactly sure, but I don't know what we call a renegotiation. In my mind, what we're saying, what you're saying, Patty, is that after a period of 20 years from the date of execution of the agreement, the parties agree to review the terms and conditions of the agreement and make any adjustments deemed necessary to correct any, or to make any adjustments to correct any inequality or inequity or...
As deemed by who?
Pardon me?
As deemed by who?
Both parties.
Well, that's always a question. That's always a question.
Well, by both parties.
Yeah.
By both parties.
But if there are those kinds of inequities after 20 years, both parties can always, at that point, sit down and take a look at the agreement and renegotiate or review it. I mean, there's nothing that prevents the parties from doing that at any time. Washington County Water Conservancy District, in my view, is there for the benefit of the cities and towns of this country and this county. That's their purpose. And so, in dealing between the city and that kind of a governmental entity, you assume that those people will act with honor and integrity, and if we have an issue that comes up that nobody anticipated, that we'll sit down and adjust it accordingly. That's the assumption we always make with dealing with a governmental entity. Maybe give them the benefit of that more so than you would if you were working with a private entity.
Morgan, would you be opposed to adding some language to that to say in 20 years to just review the contract for both parties?
Yeah, I think what we'll need to figure out is we want to make sure that if one party deems an inequity but the other doesn't, you have to resolve it in some way, because it just goes back to if you've given connection based on that surplus water, whatever it was, because we're not having the city commit to any amount of surplus water, which that is a risk the district is taking on. I want to make that very clear. The district's taking on some risk as well with that. But
so say that again, Morgan.
The water district is not committing the city of Laverkan to any amount of surplus water. We're going to meet yearly to see how much surplus water is there,
right,
and then decide, okay, that means you can get this many connections out of that surplus water. Okay, next year, how much surplus water do you have? You could say, we don't have any this year, and we say, okay, no connections. Next year, how much surplus water? So we are doing that on a yearly basis, and this Exhibit A is an illustration, but the district is not holding Laverkan City to that build-out schedule. And so that is a risk the district's taking on. And so I would say, Councilmember White, we are already doing what you're saying. And so if we were to add language of renegotiation or fixing inequities, we would need to have a lot of sideboards of how that's resolved. And it needs to be resolved, because what we don't want to happen is it can't be resolved. The agreement terminates, the city starts using more of that surplus water, but we've got connections that are relying on that surplus water. That would be my concern.
And Exhibit A is just a guesstimate.
Right.
We don't know for sure. What we think is going to start out at close to 1,000 acre feet, that once the system gets in a new system so that we know we've got a reliable system that we're, we have, and we think that's what it's going to be, and we think that over time there's going to be less water use for secondary use because some of these big fields, they use a lot of water, are eventually going to grow houses, and they won't be using that as much water. There'll still be some use. And so that's just a guess that over time that's going to happen. So I don't know. I just...
So, Faye, with what the wording that you were just saying about, say, 20-year time, reviewing and resolving any inequity, is that pretty much what you were saying?
Well, basically, yeah, we would sit down in good faith. There's always an obligation under a contract to review, or whatever we do, it has to be done in good faith.
Okay.
So, what I'm thinking is...
We're doing this in good faith. Right?
We're doing this in good faith, yeah, absolutely. The district always owes to the city, and the city always owes to the district, the duty of acting in good faith.
Right.
So if any circumstance arose that wasn't foreseen at this particular period of time, or was, you know, somehow inequitable for one of the parties, in my view, the district would always have an obligation to review that, even if it's not written in the agreement. Although, obviously, if it's written in the agreement, we feel much better about that, right?
Right.
So
can you put in something that doesn't cause Morgan to have to do, like, I would really like to get this taken care of, but I, in good faith, can't sign off on this without some more language.
Well, obviously, what I just said off the top of my head, I mean, that's the gist of it, but it would need to be fine-tuned, and it would need to be something that would be acceptable to the water district, something that we could, if we both didn't agree on, you know, what were reasonable adjustments. And that's always a problem.
But Patty, that also, I mean, Morgan's comment there that they have risk that can come back to bite us. I mean, we might be the ones 20 years from now that got a $13 million system, you know, and if the surplus isn't there.
Right.
So,
I mean, yeah, it goes both ways, but I don't know, I've just never heard of anybody signing away forever. It just, without any discussion, let's just do it. It sounds good right now. We've tried to cross the T's, dot the I's, and we're going to live with it forever. Future councils are going to live with it forever.
I do like that thought of clean water and connections, right, forever. I mean, if the water is gone, it's gone across the county, but I do like that.
That's kind of a thing. If the rest of the county is suffering and they're not building and their lawns are all dried out and Laverkan's just green and happy, I mean, really, will that happen? I don't think so.
That's going elsewhere.
So
that question came up at the Water District, and they asked each one of the cities, are you willing to, if we get in a drought situation and we have to go to different stages of the drought, willing to let your lawns go brown? They asked me. I said, that lawns will be green. We have a contractual obligation to provide that secondary water to our users in Laverkan. And that is the priority that we have. And if, as long as there's water running down the river, and they don't put a column on the river beyond 1890, we're going to get that water. And if we have excess water, it'll go back to the district and they'll treat it and give it back to us in common use. And the rest of the county will have to look at brown lawns. And that's... Morgan's shaking her head. That's exactly right, isn't it?
Well, you know,
they don't like it.
If it was just lawns, that would be one thing, but we're talking culinary water.
Well, Mayor? There you go.
Blair has a comment, then I'm ready to make a motion.
And I was just going to make a motion that we, it's only 2 weeks, we've got another meeting. Let Faye put together a...
Let's do it tonight.
Morgan can go through and look at it.
Let's do it tonight. Morgan can make a decision tonight.
Well, I would like to see it in writing to what it's going to say.
Write it out.
It's not going to be...
Write it out. I don't know
why you're in a hurry, but 2 weeks is not that long to wait.
We've been beating this around so for long enough. Let's make a motion.
Actually, Kelly, the sticking point is the perpetuity, and we've been beating, this is the second meeting that we've been beating.
And we can still go with the perpetuity for a certain amount of them.
Well, let's try the other way, because I like the perpetuity better, just because the equity thing makes me nervous. Because we don't, you know, we don't have that kind of money. But I would make a motion that we approve the water surplus agreement as written.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Roll call. Darren?
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Patty?
No.
Blair?
No.
It's a very disappointing no, Kelly.
It's a tie. It's a tie. And guess what? I get to break the tie.
Yes, you do.
Wait a minute.
No, no, yes, yes.
Yeah, that is true. We should know. You're right.
Yeah. So it will pass, and we will be okay, Penny. We'll be okay.
We're not going to be here in 20 years to know. So.
Well, that's right. We'll be dead.
And Micah, you probably won't care.
I will be, and my kids will be.
The only one that's going to be here is Morgan. And you know how that went down, and you'll be able to say, this is the way it is. We're going to be the head of the water district in 20 years from now. So. Okay. Next item on the agenda is the MOU. And this is, where's my agenda here? MOU is how, so we don't have to go get a loan, or the water district is willing to pay the contractor to do the work. We just approved the invoices, is that correct?
Correct.
That's the memorandum of understanding. Yes. That saves the district money, that saves us money, because if we had to go through the loaning process to do that, if the district had to, then it just costs a lot of money to do that. That's just the simplest, easiest way to do it. And the best way for the city, is that correct?
Yes, this just outlines how the contractor will be paid back and the process that they need to follow so that the district approves it and the city approves it, and then the district pays them.
And Laverkan City is in control of the project.
Right.
We're just paying them.
And your Trinity will be able to watch the project, make sure it's done right to you, that right?
To the level that Laverkan City requests and desires.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can provide any support.
Okay. And then, so, I guess if there's any discussion on the MOU, we could discuss that. Everybody understand what that means? So, mm-hmm. I'll entertain a motion then to approve that.
I'll make a motion to accept the MOU for the water surplus agreement.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Blair?
No.
Patty?
Yes.
Yes.
Micah? Darren?
Yes.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is to approve the water exchange agreement. Morgan, do you want to just take a minute and kind of explain what we're doing there. This is for reuse water that we get out of the treatment plant that will be online coming February.
Correct. Yes, so Ash Creek Special Service District is constructing a Confluence Park Water Reclamation Facility. That reclamation facility will produce type 1 reuse water, which is safe for human contact, safe for outdoor irrigation, and it's even safe for irrigation on edible portions of crops. And it is a consistent flow, which is nice. It doesn't have the turbidity that Laverkin experiences with the Virgin River water. And so part of the project that the district is paying for and doing is a pipeline from the Confluence Park Water Reclamation Facility to a new pond in Laverkin. And this is separate from the secondary system improvement project. So none of that $13 million from the previous agreement is going towards these projects. The district's paying for these projects. And it will deliver reuse water to the pond. And we will then, Laverkin City will use that reuse water in its secondary system, and it'll be a one-for-one exchange. So any amount of the reuse water that is used by Laverkin City, the district will take the Virgin River water that Laverkin City would have used, but instead you get the reuse water. The district recognizes that Confluence Park Water Reclamation Facility will not be producing enough type 1 reuse water to do a full exchange. So part of the pond is desilting basin. So Laverkin City will be using still Virgin River secondary water rights as well as reuse water, and the desilting pond will help with turbidity of the Virgin River water. So one-for-one exchange, no cost, no additional cost to either parties, and it will be a more constant flow, less sediment, less turbid.
How big is that pond?
7 million gallons.
That's how much my dad uses every day.
Is that how much he uses?
Yeah.
I can't
drop those fingers down for 3 days.
We will still be on Virgin River water.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the salting portion of that pond is to Laverkin's benefit.
Melanie, do you want to take a minute to kind of explain how that's going to work, the desilting part of it, the arm and things like that?
Sure. So the pond will have two inlets. It will have an inlet from the Virgin River, inlet from the reuse, and it will be on the south side of the pond. And then on the kind of northwest side of the pond, there's a, it's called a canter arm. So it's a pipe. It's got a flexible joint so that the water that's coming out of the pond will always be drawn from the top. So as water comes in, it's, especially the Virgin River water with its high solid content, will come in and have time to settle to the bottom, and then we'll be drawing water off the top. It's about a 20-foot elevation difference from the bottom of the pond to the top of the water, so that we're getting as clean as water as possible as it's going into the system.
Okay. That would be a huge benefit for the users of the secondary system here in the work itself. And eventually, hopefully we'll be able to have much cleaner water as time goes on. So, any questions about the agreement? We actually almost approved this months ago, I think. So, when it was came to us in a draft, I think. So, any questions? Entertain a motion to approve.
Mayor, I'll make the motion to approve the water exchange agreement.
I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second. Blair?
No.
Addie?
Yeah.
Micah?
Yes.
Darren?
Yes.
Okay. Last item on the agenda, we thought this was going to be a quick meeting. But it's been some good spirited debate. And that's always good. So, anyway.
We're doing our job, Kelly.
Yes, you are. And I appreciate for it. You're doing your job. I appreciate your comments. I don't agree with them all the time, but I appreciate it. How's that sound?
Good enough.
Okay, thanks. Anyway, the next item is discussion and possible action to approve the Director of Operations, Derek, a new truck, and that new truck lease. Right now, Derek leases the truck for 2 years, and they would like, don't want to go beyond 2 years because they want it back, because the resale value of the truck after just 2 years, and so is a lot higher. Get a new truck for him, and it's time to
move for that lease.
So we're just asking for a push. What?
We've been doing this for quite a few years.
We do that with Derek's truck and also the
police
chief's truck, and they're able to look good driving around town.
So, Mayor, may I ask why we don't have the lease agreement or proposed lease agreement in the packet? We don't have anything in the packet with numbers, figures, anything like that?
I don't know why.
I didn't get it fit in there, but I have the numbers right here in front of me, so I can...
Would you go over them, please?
Yeah. So basically, I forgot to put Nick's on this one, so this is supposed to be for Nick's.
Well, Nick, I talked with Nick, and he said that there's some stuff that he has to do, and so I told him that he wants a truck, he needs to do what he needs to do, so he decided he didn't need it, I guess, bad enough yet, so we'll wait on him.
So basically, working with the company that we work with, they give us a 1 to 3 year option, lease option. We can lease for 1 year, 2 year, or 3 year. After the third year, we keep the truck, then for the fourth and fifth year, we're cutting the rest of the payment into two payments, and at the end, the truck would be ours. We lease with a 10,000 mile per year maximum, and the old contract was that it was an annual payment that we would make to them every year. The lower the miles, we actually get rebate back from them. So I still figured that out, how that comes to be, but right now, with my truck and its miles, the city will recoup $10,000. We'll get paid back $10,000 for the truck. So by the time you take the $10,000, reapply it to the payment, our payment increased this year with a 2 year newer truck by $250 for the total year. I got those payments would be, right now we make an annual payment of $8,500. The new payment would be $8,750 with that rebate coming back to the city. They prefer not to do an annual payment anymore due to the fact that if we want to cut the lease short, we can do it. So it now becomes by the month. So it'd be a monthly payment instead of an annual payment. And then they can cut the lease agreement short at any point in time that they want to. So right now, where we just started into our third year, we wouldn't have that option under the new one. But under the old one, we can still get out. But the longer we hold on to the truck, the less that money comes back to us. So we basically have that truck for 2 years. We pay two payments of $8,500 on it. And we stand back almost three quarters of the back end payment back to us that will apply back to the ongoing lease payment. So it's kind of a win because we keep a truck that's a nice truck, and a truck that stays under warranty, and a truck that we actually end up getting money back for it. And it all goes to, as long as we're maintaining it well and the miles aren't excessive, it's kind of a win-win because the company that does it gets it under the state contract and cuts the truck, depending on the type of truck, anywhere from $10,000 to $25,000 off the sale price of the truck. But they can only do that, qualify for that, if they lease in two cities. And so if you look at Tocqueville has the same types of trucks. St. George has the same types of trucks. So they that's the way that they're able to offer these types of leasing options that we normally wouldn't get. We just bought a truck that you guys approved for Max. That's a truck that will have, hopefully, maintained well and does a good job for the next 10 to 12 years. But then the warranty will go out on it, and then we'll start to run into problems, and we'll end up having to purchase another one. So this kind of just makes it, I think, better all the way around to where we're not finding out First, we're not in debt for the truck other than the lease payment, which we can stop at any point in time. And we're definitely not into any repairs or maintenance beyond the amount of warranty.
So your lease on your existing truck now is roughly about $7,000 for the 2 years, right?
Right now it's $8,500 for the one I've got now.
No, it's $8,500 a year, right?
A year.
So you paid $17,000 in 2 years. You're giving me $10,000 back. So basically, you got up to $3,500 a year.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad deal.
No, I still haven't figured out how we actually can make money. But I would assume that it would be through. The guy tried to explain it to me, but I might still be bright enough.
It's just fuzzy math.
It's hurting math, right?
Okay.
So those are the numbers. Right there.
So, Derek, if you put in the actual lease that we'll be approving, and so we couldn't vote on this till the next meeting, would that cause a hardship in getting this amazing deal?
The more miles we put on, the less, the more the paper goes down. We just took it right up to Subway last night. So that could impact the miles now. I mean, we're talking another couple of weeks. If that's what you want,
there's a waiting period too.
Yeah, it'll be 3 months.
Well, so not that I don't like everything you said, but I don't know that we should be approving this just on a verbal explanation.
These are literally the numbers that they gave.
So, I guess, have you seen that, Mayor? Could the council look at it
so we could
at least vote on something in writing?
Mine's the top and next is the bottom, so don't pay attention to the next.
How much is the truck
total?
If we buy it?
90, see, the one I'm driving now is 95 because I think our last two payments are 30 something $1,000. The point we don't want to buy this because we don't want to start with bypassing the warranty and then we start getting into the. This year is the first year after you guys have allowed us to start buying new equipment. That we are actually only at 20% of our equipment usage, and we're at almost, at the end of December, we'll be 50% right of our budget. We've actually started to see that come around be a benefit to us.
Derek, how, if this was approved tonight, how long until you would have the actual lease? Because I'd really like to have the actual lease attached to this agenda, even if it's. Can we do that, Faye?
I'm sorry?
Well, so he doesn't have the lease now, right? You don't have the paperwork to sign now. But if we could have that actual lease attached to this agenda item that we're approving, even after the fact. Can we do that, Nancy? Okay. Can that be done?
Yeah, sure. I think you can approve it. You want to have additional period for review?
No. Yeah. I mean, I'm okay with it if the rest of the council is okay with it. I just don't think that we as a council should be approving things like this, a lease. I mean, there are things we approve. You know, verbally, but I would just like to have the actual lease attached to this meeting agenda.
You could make the motion to approve and to have a copy of the lease attached to the agenda for Nancy to.
That might be
having the record.
If you do that, that might let Derek get the other one ordered, and they, you know, because he's got to keep that other truck until the other truck gets here, so.
So you think it's workable to do it that way?
Well, that's up to you guys to decide that, but it would if you approved what his with his numbers, the lease, subject to the lease coming back to you in 2 weeks to the next meeting, then he might be able to call the United Fleet and tell them, yeah, we're good to go. But of course, then we run the risk of you guys deciding in 2 weeks you don't want to do it, too. So.
Well, we're approving it tonight. So.
And just in the motion, just have a copy of the lease added to the agenda item.
Yeah. And assuming the numbers are the same or
yeah.
within.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do it that way.
Okay.
And that's my bad for not including him. I know better. I just. Yeah.
Do you want to make a motion to that?
Yeah. Do you guys have any comments?
That sounds good.
Good with it.
Okay, let's see if I can do this. Okay. I'll make the motion to approve new truck lease for the Director of Operations based on the printout review numbers of the lease by Gary Kimley, with the additional attachments of the actual lease, with the numbers being roughly the same, within a small amount of difference that may be attached to this agenda.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have 2 seconds. So.
Very good.
Okay, Blair?
Yes.
Yes.
Micah?
Yes.
Darren?
Yes.
Thank you, everybody, for coming tonight. We stand adjourned.
Oh, we have public comment?
No, we don't.
Oh, we don't. It's not on the agenda. Oh.
There is no public comment tonight. No city council
reports.
That was on purpose.
Didn't take too long for you.